3HL with Brent Daugherty and Don Davenport.
Show powered by you on 104.5 The Zone. Brent Daugherty, Don Davenport with you until 6 o'clock. JT producing the show. We have a lot to get to today. Urban Meyer. Somebody sent us a picture, Don, of Urban getting off a plane in Jacksonville.
Maybe Herb. It's him.
It'd be easy to Photoshop a Jags logo onto a runway. I don't know.
Was he wearing jorts?
Well, he certainly should be. That's a great point by you. What if Herb got off the private plane wearing jorts? That would be amazing.
That would be so amazing. Oh, man. How about that? Regardless, it doesn't matter who is hired by any of the other teams. If this ends up true, if Adam Schefter's, reports end up true, this will be, I think, the most intriguing NFL hire, I would say, in a while. To watch how it plays out.
I just don't know what to think, man, because I just think of Urban Meyer and I think of the schematic advantage he had with all of those five-star players. And sure. You don't get that in the NFL,
no,
right? Like, it's socialism in the NFL. The worst teams get the first
It's a great right? way to put it, yeah.
It is. With the salary cap, everything is designed for you to go 8-8. And then it's on you to do better than that or worse than that. And I don't know what to think about a coach that's had that kind of a recruiting advantage going to the NFL where you don't have that.
Correct. You don't have the recruiting advantage and everybody's great. So you don't have the advantage of having stellar athletes against less stellar competition. And he has always done really well from a recruiting standpoint in college. That's you can point that out as one of the cons. But and the other thing is, his ability to motivate kind of that 18, 19, 20-year-old mind and his ability, whether it's done in fear or whatever. I mean, it's power, it's control, right? It's, hey, this is how I'm going to motivate you. You can't do that at this level. It's a business, right? It's a job. Yeah. Now you certainly have, he played on the love of the game, the amateurism, all of that to motivate his teams. And you can sit here and say that there are a lot of players in the NFL that just want to win, but at the end of the day, it is also a job and a business, much more so than it is at the collegiate level, to where sometimes, Vic Beasley, the love of the game kind of disappears.
I would advise Herb, not that he wants my advice. He's got plenty of people he can talk to. But just talking to players over the years, I would stay away from that college rah-rah crap. You're right. Pros, professionals don't like that.
Nope.
They don't respond well to that. They tune you out immediately, right, wrong, indifferent. That's what happens with a lot of those guys. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, the questions about Herb to the NFL, recruit advantage in college is gone. Motivating young people, that's another thing he's exceptionally good at. That part's changing. First things first, he's got to assemble a staff, and I feel comfortable and confident in the fact that he will be able to do that, and he will do that. My biggest question is, again, going back to, when you're at Ohio State and you're getting all these five-star players and 11 of your games are against, teams that are at least 11 that are against teams that are inferior to you from a talent standpoint.
Yeah, especially and here's Ohio another State. Thing
too. That guy doesn't deal well with losing, man. Well documented. The picture of him on the back of the golf cart eating Papa John's pizza, remember that? Just sulking. Dude, he's going to lose at least 10 games in year one in Jacksonville.
Okay, but this
is
my...
How do you deal with that?
But this is my other argument along those lines, and I think part of his, easy way to motivate was the sense of urgency. You lose one game in college and you're done. Your season's over. I mean, and I say season over, it it is from a standpoint of you can't win a national championship most likely if you lose one game. So that sense of urgency he had when it came to motivating 18 to 21, 22 year olds, he won't have that at the NFL level. Now, to your point, he hates losing, but the other positive here is that you can lose multiple games. If you look at some of the teams in the playoffs this year, a lot of games, and still have a chance to win the championship, you know? So maybe that helps with his hating losing thing.
Something I think that's also getting lost in all this, I want to tell people, if you don't know, I'm an Ohio State fan. Urban Meyer's got a lot of, I mean, why he's not being thought of as the GM, because listen, he's dealt with a lot of paying players at Ohio State. He knows a lot of contracts and things like that. I mean, so
you're saying he's good with player contracts?
Absolutely.
Already.
So he's okay. Already dealt with all of this stuff for a long time.
Oh, that's so good.
And they're my, I mean, surely, I'm sure he learned most of it at Ohio State. I don't think he did any of that at Florida. But, I mean, he's had a number of years of
I'm sure
paying players underneath his belt.
It's funny, yeah, too, because Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, said that he had roster control this year, and he's going to have roster control moving forward. I wonder if that part has been negotiated, because it's interesting that, you know, you heard that we were headed toward a deal with Jacksonville and Urban Meyer. And then yesterday you had the Chargers enter the mix all of a sudden, which to me told me, and maybe I'm wrong, but just kind of reading the tea leaves, that, you know, the $12 million number had been thrown out there and a deal had not been reached. So if I'm Herb, maybe I, you know, go look at the Chargers for a minute.
Oh, and he's brilliant at that.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, Schefter's tweeting what he tweeted. Schefter did tweet. He didn't say it was done. He said Jacksonville and former Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer are in advanced talks, yes, to see if they can finalize a deal.
And I watched him this morning, and he very clearly said, "Look, this has happened before." Specifically with Urban Meyer, to where, yeah, you get to this point and then he, yeah, walks away. So it could happen to where he walks away.
I hope it happens, just because of what we do and the way that, you know, we interact with sports fans on a daily basis. I think it would, mm-hmm, be fun to have that guy in the division, because I think he immediately becomes the most hated guy in the division until they draft Trevor Lawrence. And then Trevor Lawrence will be the most hated person in the division. He will. None
just
of y'all gonna like
he's
him,
so
even if
likeable.
You do. Right. Yeah, because he's so likable. Because, yeah, of the hair, because of all of it. Because he's at Jacksonville, like he immediately will. So we'll have kind of a changing of the guard, even though neither one of those things have happened yet. So we'll see. But here in about 5 minutes, we're gonna check in with Joe Cowart with XL Prime Time Radio in Jacksonville. 1010 XL in Jacksonville. Herb to Jacksonville. What does that look like? Are they all in on Trevor Lawrence? Or does Herb switch it up and go Justin Fields, Ohio State guy?
Nah. I mean, he picked, what was it, Fox Sport. I went back and looked, and Fox did, you know, he's been an analyst for Fox, the last, I guess, year and a half. Anyway, he went back and picked Trevor Lawrence as his top quarterback coming into the season, so. Now Fields was second.
I think it's good for drama. Drama's good. And here's the thing on Herb. Like, I don't really know what to think about him. Like, everybody's like, do you think he's going to win? I'm like, I really don't know, honestly, because I've got a lot of reasons that tell me he won't win, like, on an elite level. I think he'll be okay. I don't think he'll be awful. I don't think he'll be great. I think he'll be okay. Like, I think he could maybe build Jacksonville into like a 9-7, 10-6 playoff team. I don't think he's a Super Bowl guy, but who the heck knows?
I mean, he's walking into a great situation, though, because they haven't hired a GM yet. They still have their interim GM in, who's been in that role for a year now. You know, so from that standpoint, he either will have a say in that, or he will have the control coming in if he does take the job. They've got the very first pick, you know. Trevor Lawrence, I mean, you don't know if he's going to be successful at the next level, but everything points to him having the tools to be successful. So, you know, he's gonna have a quarterback. They have what, close to $1 million in cap space or something? I mean, the most cap space of any team out there right now. Yeah. Sorry, that's what I meant. Close to $100 million in cap space.
$1 million.
Only $1 million left in cap space. That's it. That would be rough, wouldn't it?
Tight end. Yes.
Yeah. I think it's 80. I don't.
We don't know what the cap's going to be. Is one thing, but
I was going to say I read somewhere that they thought that it would stay the same.
175 to 185. I just heard this morning.
Yeah, which is which would be what, the first year in a while that it has.
COVID, so, man.
I know, crazy. True. Anyway, so from all of that standpoint, I mean, he'd be walking into a heck of a situation. That's for sure.
No doubt. Brian Niedermeyer, assistant coach at Tennessee, met with investigators yesterday. Coach Jeremy Pruitt meeting with investigators today. Remember Chris Lowe on Monday, if you heard him, said there should be some sort of movement on this situation later in the week. Well, here we are. Former Tennessee wide receiver Jason Swain will join us at 4:15. It is opening night in Smashville. Sean Henry, Nashville Predators CEO, president, and alternate governor at 4:45. Preds hosting C-Bus tonight, Columbus. And Todd Furman will go through the NFL playoff weekend quickly. Packers favored by 6.5 over the Rams. Bills by 2.5 over the Ravens. Chiefs by 10 at home against Cleveland. And New Orleans favored by 3 over Tampa. We'll hit all of those games. All that coming up. Stay tuned. 3HL 104.5. Down 3HL 104.5 The Zone. Brent Doherty, Don Davenport with you. Big news in the NFL, potentially. Urban Meyer to Jacksonville. Many reports out there saying that they're trying to finalize that deal. So, let's go down to Jacksonville. Our buddy Joe Cowart joins us from XL Prime Time at 1010 XL Joe C on Twitter. Joe, what's up? How are you, man?
I'm doing great, Brent. Don, how are y'all?
We are excellent. Real quick off the top, I don't know how we got onto this, but somebody on this show might have been just kind of like dogging Jacksonville a little bit. So somebody from Jacksonville that lives here now called in to defend the city of Jacksonville and said that Jacksonville has two dog tracks. Like that was part of his defense. But then somebody else said that they're no longer operational. So can you confirm that Jacksonville does in fact still have dog tracks?
Hey, listen, this is what I miss about like say a Saturday night back in the day. Just close your eyes and you go, here comes Rusty. And that was that rabbit that those greyhounds would chase, and that steel rabbit would lead them all the way back to the winner's circle, and we'd go cash a ticket for a quinella, like a 5-9 combo for $23, and then go buy some cheap beer. Yeah, I can confirm that we used to have greyhounds at not one, not two, but three different tracks back in the day, and now it's all – they're all poker rooms now. The track.
Oh, that's outstanding. So I mean, I just imagine this place, just with a stench of despair and fear and beer.
It's such a. I'm telling you, man. If you, Brent, you would have fallen right in line with us. Okay,
I love it.
Good night. You take $50. You go and you kind of sit in the stands. You go over to the edge and you look for the greyhound that just took a leak or whatever. You know, maybe did its business. And then you run to the betting window and you bet on the lighter greyhound. And it was so much fun. Like going back in time, just a real quick story. We would have draft parties and whatnot, and we would go and set up at one of the racetracks. I can't remember. Bay Yard was one of them. Bottom line is, whenever Tom Coughlin was having his J-Fund tournament, it just aligned with the draft party, there were head coaches in the National Football League in the offseason that were coming in to play golf for the TC J-Fund that were at those Greyhound tracks betting on them. So as long as you can put a little action out there, it's always fun.
Who do you – speaking of Coughlin, Mr. Personality, who has the bigger personality, do you think, Urban Meyer or Tom Coughlin?
That's a pretty good debate right there. Urban can let his hair down every once in a while and kind of cut up with the fellas. TC, he is not wired like that. So I'm going to give the slight edge to Urban Meyer. But you are talking about two intense individuals, that's for sure.
Joe Cowart from 1010XL in Jacksonville. Do you have any run-ins with Tom Coughlin?
Yeah, one funny story, way back when U2 had come in concert inside the old, what was then Alltel Stadium, and it was driving him crazy that this beautiful palace for football was being used for a rock concert. And we went out on the field after the concert had broken down and they were getting ready for a game, and I can't even really remember if the concert was a Friday or whatever. Bottom line is, we see Dick Geron out on the football field, defensive coordinator for the Jaguars at that time. And I am not lying, Brent. He picked up some pair of underwear that some lass had left behind. And what? He picked it up, looked at it, and dropped it. Tom Coughlin just went crazy. I asked him about the press conference, and he just about went ballistic on me.
So Tom Coughlin picked up a pair of panties off the field after the U2 concert. That's amazing. Like, I don't know if I'm more surprised that Tom Coughlin had women's underwear in his hands or that Bono didn't take them with him.
Exactly. Hey, there were plenty. You got to remember that. There were plenty for Bono.
So where are we with this urban story, Joe? And how fired up are Jags fans about the it looks like the impending Herb arrival?
Well, you can just imagine there is a faction of Jag/Gator fans that are here in North Florida, and some of them still haven't forgiven Urban for leaving Gainesville, leaving Hogtown, kind of leaving it in ruins, if you really think about it. The post-Tim Tebow era took a while for the Gators to come back. But I think most Jaguar fans are hopeful. Some of them are skeptical, but I would say 3 out of every 4 are pretty jacked up. Now, think about this. The combination of a Trevor Lawrence #1 overall pick and an Urban Meyer who has been as successful, arguably, as any college coach out there. He has a higher winning percentage than anybody right now walking the planet in college football. So the combination of those two, draft picks, money to spend in free agency, and just the idea that we're going to go from we had a coach here that no one was coveting. We had a coach before that that no one was coveting. We had a coach before that that nobody wanted. And this is a guy that people want, and Shad Khan has put his mitts on him and thinks he's going to get him. So for that alone, there is a ton of enthusiasm here in what I will now call Trevor Town.
Trevor Town. Joe Cowart in Trevor Town. 1010 XL in Jacksonville. What if Urban brings Tebow out of forced retirement? Can you see that? Tebow, like, you got a special package for Tebow, the backup to Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, he'll be like the Taysom Hill of the Jaguars. It's funny.
Yes.
Yeah, I think TMZ got to him first and said, are you going to give up baseball for football? And he said, no, but I can easily see Tim in some manner, form, or fashion being brought in to kind of reunite with the Jaguar fan base, because you want to talk about splitting the fan base whenever they thought that Gene Smith, then the GM, should have gone for Tim, and they never did. And I am not exaggerating. There are still calls to this day about whether or not a team should figure out a way to get Tim Tebow on the football field. So you know that question will be asked at some point. You can guarantee it.
Of course it will. Okay, so big picture, I just kind of digging into all of it. And, you know, Arthur Smith, obviously Titans offensive coordinator, has interviewed at every single vacant job in the NFL. So we were kind of just digging into all of these open jobs to say, what's the best situation? And honestly, I know it sounds crazy, but I come up with the Jags, that this is the best situation to walk into from a cap space standpoint, a potential standpoint, the first pick. You know, I guess you probably will have say in your GM unless they keep interim guy there. All of that, what do you think? Is that a valid opinion?
Yeah, I think, Dawn, when we look at it, the two most appealing jobs, at least, you know, kind of going along with your way of thinking and what we have talked about here, is that the L.A. Chargers have what looks like a superstar, a budding superstar, the potential of that in Justin Herbert. And you look at the defensive front that they've got, Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, you look at Derwin James when healthy, look at all the pieces that the Chargers have, Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, that's a really good core of players. And hell, who wouldn't want to live in San Diego? So that's a nice, appealing job. But the one argument, kind of where I split it up, is that the Spanos family doesn't have the greatest record necessarily of taking care of people, paying people, so on and so forth. They move from one town to another. and now they're kind of figuring things out after Anthony Lynn. So I think that is a very attractive job, but I put Jacksonville number one because of the reasons you listed, and also Shad Khan. As much as people perceive him to be an absentee owner, this dude has written a lot of checks. He was tops in spending from the time he bought this football team. He committed to over $1 billion in free agent signings. Didn't have to pay all of those because guys were ultimately let go before those contracts were done. But still, he was willing to put money out there. He's not an owner that's looking over your shoulder. So this is a perfect situation compared to a few other ones that we can look at. Detroit, come on, that's going nowhere fast. That's the Model T of NFL jobs right now. Look at what happened up in New York. I don't know if anyone can be successful there. They've been terrible for such a long time. You can go to Philly and say maybe, but the people there, they want to riot if you don't win every single Sunday. And so I think this Jacksonville job is as appealing to any of those guys out there, and Irv gets his pick right now.
Yeah, I mean, with Detroit, who wants to live in Detroit? You're right about the Jets, yeah, because you can't win there. Chargers are an option for sure. I think Arthur Smith ends up going to Atlanta, personally. Are you a Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence guy, Joe?
I'm Trevor times 10. What I like, I see from Justin Fields. What I see, I love from Trevor Lawrence. I can't say it any better. Because the guy has that amazing skill set and size and want to and aptitude for the game. And that's the complete package. And you have to trust personnel people when they say this, that, you know, that there's only one of those guys that come along every once in a while. Justin Fields probably has 85 to 90% of that. But I just think that that's the total package of a guy that will come in. He will give you everything. He's a good old country. Nah, not a good old country boy, but he certainly is a laid-back cat, and I think he will fit perfectly in here. So, yeah, I would draft Trevor Lawrence every single opportunity over Justin Fields.
The other thing, to Don's point, the expectation level coming off one win and losing 15 in a row makes it enviable, I think, too. But also that free agency room. How much room do they have?
They probably have top two, maybe when everything kind of shakes out number-wise, we're not quite sure where that salary cap's going to end up, but they probably have top two money to spend. We're talking about $100 million below the cap. We don't know exactly where it's going to fall, but that type of money is going to be there, and I'll just go ahead and jump in on the GM conversation. At the very least, right now, the thought is, you know, Irv was – he flew in on Air Con. He landed at Cecil Field. Then they Cadillac'd him over to the stadium. He's meeting right now at the stadium. And so our thought is that there's a relationship in the past that Trent Baalke and Urban Meyer have, and that Baalke may have played his way into the role of remaining as the GM and shopping for the groceries and letting, you know, Irv be the chef. And I think Herb's going to have a lot of say, a lot of control over the personnel, but that would probably be the best case scenario for him, is he's still going to be the more dominant figure in the organization, and Baalke's going to be able to hopefully go out there and put a roster together, find those free agents, spend smart money, and draft well. And we all know that ain't easy, but that looks like that's how it's going to play out.
Good stuff, man. Really appreciate the insight there. It's going to be interesting to see how all this unfolds. And as I said earlier in the show, I mean, Urban Meyer easily becomes the most hated man in the division until Trevor Lawrence is drafted, and then he will be. Most loved in Jacksonville, most hated everywhere else. So it's going to be fun, man. We all cheer for drama in this business.
You got that right, man. And if we can get back to where you guys have been, let's face it, the Titans have kicked our arse, and Mike Vrabel looks like a superstar on the sidelines, and look what they've done. So we dang sure need to get back to where Duvall and Nash Vegas are battling.
Love it, man. Thank you, Joe.
All right, Brent. See you, Don. Take care.
All right.
Thanks, Joe.
Joe Coward at 1010XL, Joe C. Man, that was a wide-ranging conversation, from dog tracks to Tom Coughlin picking up panties off the field.
Oh, my gosh. That's the worst word ever. Don't call him that.
What do you want me to call him? Drawers?
Underwear. Yes, or drawers. Drawers.
What's wrong with panties?
That's the worst word ever. I hate that word. Oh, do you know? Man. You know what? It's panties.
I'm gonna add it to the list. Did you like not like how your mom said it back in the day, and it just became that word for you?
I guess. I don't know why I've always hated that word.
Underwear, much better.
Yes.
It takes longer to say. Here's my favorite thing about Urban Meyer is that we all call him Herb. I think Herb is like the best name.
Like we're all best buddies with him or something.
Number one, who calls a guy, like who names their kid Urban? Isn't that kind of strange? Did he grow up like in a downtown area, or did he grow up in the country and his parents were dreaming of, you know, the urban lifestyle? I don't know.
I mean, one of Arkansas's linebackers is named Bumper Pool.
That's so great. And remember we asked like there's some Arkansas players about that, about Bumper Pool, and he was like, is that weird?
Like he didn't like he didn't know what Bumper Pool was.
Why are you asking me about that guy's name? His name is Bumper Pool. I don't know. Like, is that strange? I mean, somebody needs to ask Herb that in the opening press conference. Hey, why did your parents name you Urban? I've always wondered. And what about Joe saying that they will incorporate Tim Tebow somehow?
That was pretty interesting. I'm not surprised, but him saying that they still get calls to this day about Tebow with the Jags. To this day.
That's
like 2021.
That's like us getting calls about Charles Woodson shouldn't have beaten Peyton Manning in the Heisman Trophy race in 97.
Oh, wait, that still does happen.
It does. Yeah. Oh, man, I love it. So Urban Meyer in the division. Do you agree with me that he will immediately be the most hated guy? Like for Titans, Texans, and Colts fans? You know they're going to just not like that dude just because.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Especially if he wins. If he doesn't win.
I don't think he's going to win, man. I think he's just going
to
be okay.
I don't know why. Why do you think that? See, I don't know what to think, but I'm just curious why you don't think he's going to have. He's been successful at every single stop he's ever made, from Bowling Green to Utah to Florida to Ohio State. He's 187-32. I get they're all college, but he's always successful.
He can't add 25 4- and 5-star players every year, whatever players he wants. Like, he can go pick 25 of the best players in the country and add them to his roster every year. He can't do that. Now, I know you can say, well, you know, Pete Carroll did it. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh had some immediate success in San Francisco. I get it. But there are a lot of, like, Steve Spurrier, Nick Saban. I mean, there are a lot of cases of college guy that it just doesn't translate.
Well, and the worst case scenario is Lane Kiffin, right? And Bobby Petrino, probably. Those are kind of the ones that absolutely flunked. Saban and Spurrier were not good, but not Kiffin Petrino like. Now Kiffin is a totally different. I mean, that's a different story. He was super young, youngest coach ever in the NFL. He walked into a situation where he didn't have crap there with the Raiders. So, yeah.
That's one of the greatest combinations of owner coach ever. Al Davis and Lane Kiffin. I mean.
Right.
That video.
Definitely entertaining.
That video that Al Davis put out there about Lane Kiffin, where it looked like he was the Emperor in Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So what about the history of college coaches to the NFL that have been successful, like super successful? I think you probably just put Jimmy Johnson in there, right?
Yeah. By the way, based on our Twitter feed, people understand that I am not Catholic based on my question of how a guy ends up with the name Urban. There are multiple popes named Urban. So that's probably true. So Jeff was the first. He said he was named after Pope Urban. Then little Chrissy says, who names their kids Urban? Catholics, I presume, after one of the five popes named Urban. Derek, Urban was the name of multiple Catholic popes. Meyer's family is Catholic. So thank you all for that. In the midst of that, we got a tweet from Mark on @3HL1045, who writes, is there a list somewhere of all of the words that Don Davenport does not like? I'm not sure it would fit on Twitter. due to character limits.
Do I have a lot of them? I feel like it's just panties and moist. I mean, really, I think those are the only two that I make a big deal about.
JT.
Is there another one, JT? Don't save that.
JT, help.
I can fix this, guys.
3-1-0-4-5, The Zone. Jeremy Pruitt meeting with investigators today. Maybe there's some news out of Knoxville at some point. We'll hit that a little bit later. Jason Swain, former wide receiver at Tennessee at 4:15. Sean Henry, Nashville Predators CEO, president, and alternate governor, which is still the coolest title ever. Alternate governor. Can anyone do that? Like, what does that even mean? Is that just a title to have a title, or does that title have responsibilities? Have you ever been named alternate governor, Don Davenport?
No. No.
Wonder
I don't know. Alternate.
Yeah, just in case. He's the just-in-case governor. Like, if you're an alternate governor for an organization, here I go again, asking dumb questions that I'm sure every single person listening knows.
Like, why Urban was named Urban?
Yeah, because there are popes named Urban. We quickly found that out. No, if you're an alternate governor for an organization, is there a governor of an organization? Because I've never seen that title before, you know, except for, you know, the state. I don't know. Our Twitter feed is pretty ridiculous right now, as you might imagine. If you heard the last segment, Dawn kind of rolled through. Like, Dawn doesn't like the word moist, and you know, she kind of rolled through. Like, I don't like the word sofa. I have no idea why. I just don't like
sofa.
The way it sounds, and I don't like delicious. I don't like it when people say the word delicious.
Oh, that's interesting. What about sopapilla?
Well, I mean, that's sopa. Not sofa.
I know, but it's close to sofa. When you said sofa, that's immediately what I thought of. So can we add that to your list?
Yeah, my list is a little less.
Sopapillas are delicious.
But you also don't like the word moist, and you used both of your words in the same sentence, which sent our listeners over the edge. PJ, Babs absolutely trips me out sometimes. She just used panties and moist back to back. At least she didn't say it the other way around. Y'all are awesome. Mark, Don Davenport, you weren't supposed to use both of those in the same sentence. Hopefully JT has his hands on the dump button.
Does it make you gag, or like just what part of that do you not, what is your physical reaction to the word moist? Okay.
The same reaction I have when I change my daughter's diapers.
Do you also vomit if somebody else vomits? Like, some people are like that. Like, if
no, I don't have that issue. Okay. No, I don't have that issue at all. And I like the Alex Smith, the E60 was on the other night again.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. My 17-year-old watched that too. And I'm like, I'm not watching it.
Oh my gosh. Like, I can't look away. I like rewind. I want to see the injury again. I want to see the aftermath and all of it. Like, I love seeing all of that. You know, I thought I wanted to go into some kind of medical field at some point.
Until you took organic chemistry.
Yeah, that just kicked my butt. And then you went to
see, kids, back in the day, there was this place you could go when you were in college called Drop an Ad. Okay. Mm. And it took you a minute to learn how to utilize Drop an Ad to your favor. Like, it's the great unknown. Like, people don't give you that little bit of advice back in the day.
Yeah.
And so you would get your schedule when you actually went to a classroom. And so at the University of Tennessee, I figured out Drop an Ad. Like, I didn't figure it out until my sophomore year. And I'm like, wait, what? This is a game changer. I don't have to go to geography on the top of the hill. I can go take it in the humanities building where all of my other classes are. And it's a lot closer to my dorm room. Yeah. That was a game changer. But so organic chemistry, like, you went to the first class and then you went to Drop an Ad and you're like, I'm out. No more medical stuff for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, here, you can maybe liken it to the nowadays transfer portal, where you're kind of like dropping the University of Tennessee and you're adding wherever else you're going. Yeah. Right.
I'm dropping organic chemistry. I'm adding tennis and bowling.
Do you want to hear something funny at Auburn?
You took bowling and didn't get an A?
Oh, hell no, I did not take bowling, because you know why? Bowling is a really hard class. And all these athletes early on that wanted to take bowling for an easy A then realized bowling is not an easy A, because it's all about the history of the game, and you have to study and know it and where it came from and how it originated and all the rules that go with it and all of that. So the average bowling class grade was a C. Mm-mm, I did not take bowling.
Ours was the same way. I did really well, though. Now I can't do anything. Like, I used to be able to get that spin on it and all that stuff where it goes in at an angle. You're far more likely to get a strike that way, but I can't do that anymore.
Oh, like you're old and can't do it anymore?
I think it's I'm weak, so I can't spin it. It hurts my wrist, so it just goes straight into the gutter.
Yeah.
So I just bowl it as hard as I can, as straight down the middle as I can. That's what I do. And so, you know, I might get one, I might get zero, I might get them all. I might knock pins like 3 aisles down. I don't know. But I'm going to throw it hard. I'm going to do it every time.
I'm going to throw it hard.
Jordan sent us a picture of Betty Crocker cake mix and said he likes his cakes to be extra moist. And it says super moist on the box.
And I don't get me wrong, I love those kind of cakes that are like spongy and yum. But just don't call it that.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years.
Call it a comeback.
Gator Mike, what about moisture for Dawn? Does she hate all weather forecasts and weather people now too?
Yes.
I love it. 615-737-1045 is the number, at 3HL1045. We've got Urban Meyer to Jacksonville on the table. What do you think about that? Is he the most hated guy in the division from minute one? My argument is he is until Trevor Lawrence is drafted, and then y'all will all hate him. Preds open their season tomorrow. How excited are you about that? It's good timing for the Predators.
Tonight, you mean?
I mean tonight, yeah. It's good timing for the Predators.
You just said that.
yeah, I don't know why. They played Columbus tonight at 7 o'clock on Fox TN. They haven't played in 160 days. Good timing for them, though. I mean, Titans exit stage left on Sunday, and now you
incoming the Preds.
Right into Fred season.
You're excited? Are you in? Okay.
I'm in. Because like college basketball has been so sporadic. Like I was looking forward to Tennessee-Vandy Tuesday and couldn't get it. And now we still don't.
Supposedly you're going to have it Saturday, but who
supposedly
knows?
I just keep waiting for that shoe to fall here in a second. I'm pumped up about it. I'm anxious to see what this team is, because if it doesn't go right, they're going to blow it up. Would be my guess, right? I mean, they've held on. You've got the Jofa line again. You've got RV got hurt the other day, according to hit him with the Hines. He should be good to go tonight. But I'm curious. They've got the shortened season also. You're only playing divisional games. You're playing two shots at a time. So they'll play Columbus now, and then they'll play him again on Saturday, I think. So that's an interesting thing. There are no fans in the stands at Bridgestone Arena, so Smashville kind of loses its thing. Can the players fight through that? There are a lot of storylines with regard to this team, but I guess the main thing, though, is I'm fascinated if they can turn it around off what was a disappointing season last season. I mean, just to get ceremoniously bounced in the playoffs the way that they did was –
ceremoniously. I'm one of those kind of amp into hockey season, especially with no fans. There's so much of the entire Preds experience is the beauty of being there in person and that atmosphere and the event that they have created and what it has turned into. And hockey is just a sport that to me is so much better in person than it is on TV. And so I hate COVID, obviously. But I miss that we don't have that right now. I want to read. So one of my friends who does play by play for ESPN, I've worked some football games with him, has a son who is into hockey. And so he put this out on Twitter and basically just said, "So tell me about hockey." And I want to read the text to you. Okay.
Okay.
Maybe this will get everybody amped up. Here you go. This is the description of hockey. The best damn sport in the world. Men flying around on quarter-inch sharpened steel on ice while getting in collisions equivalent to a 35-mile-per-hour car crash, all the while being cognizant of the fact that you need to put a 1-inch by 3-inch, 5.5-ounce frozen rubber disc in a net that is heavily fortified by some of the best athletes in the world. It's a gentleman's game that is heavily enforced with a code of honor and game that seems short of your very best. A game born on the ponds and the lakes of the northern part of this continent and now thriving in the southern part as cities like Tampa and Nashville build powerhouses. It is quite simply the best game going.
That's pretty good. That doesn't get you amped up?
That gets me amped up.
Okay, good. How into the Preds are you already as it is opening night here in Smashville? Also, what do you think about Herb to Jacksonville? 615-737-1045. There are three coaches with more college football wins than Urban Meyer, who also had NFL runs. Got those records for you when we come back. 615-737-1045.